What is up, all you slashes and survive girls? Welcome back to another episode of the Creepin' It Real Horrorcast. I'm that good buddy Lunchbox, bringing it back again this week for you with another horror movie gem. And oh boy, do we have another gem in store for you this week. And speaking of weeks, I hope you guys had a great one leading up. And yeah, I had a pretty decent week, if I have to say so myself. You know, I did a lot of cleaning around the apartment. I ended up making my kids a nice lasagna. And I'm not talking like no Stouffer punk-ass lasagna. I'm talking like a legit homemade, you know, like something that your grandmother made. It was, god damn, it was so good. Yeah, and my kids devoured the shit out of it. And, you know, got to go take my dog Peach out for a walk and, you know, try to get her out and a little bit of exercise. And then, you know, went and did some play testing for some of the new Pokemon decks that are coming out this week. So, you know, with a couple of buddies, it was pretty nice. So I decided that, you know what, since I had such an amazing week, I'm a glutton for punishment. So I went with Leprechaun 2 for this week's movie. And yeah, it was something, I guarantee it. So just before we jump on into these details here for this film, now you guys can always reach me at any time of the day, just because I got my phone on me like pretty much, you know, 100% of the time. But yeah, just go ahead and drop me an email there at creepingitreal.cm@gmail.com, or just, you know, hit me up on Instagram or at Facebook, and that's at Creepin' It Real. That's R-E-E-L. Yeah, I mean, and I love jabberjawing with you guys and, you know, just keeping that community going. But also, one of my favorite things is actually seeing those new suggestions and seeing things that you guys like or, hell, just want to hear me ramble on about. So, yeah, always drop me those suggestions. And hey, if I end up picking a movie that you guys suggested, I'll drop your name down in one of the episodes. How about that? That sound good to you guys? I think so. All right, so let's get into Leprechaun 2. Now, if you guys remember, we have done Leprechaun 1. And what I found really, really hilarious is that Leprechaun 2 does not give a shit about Leprechaun 1 whatsoever. Like, literally, you don't even need to see Leprechaun 1 in order to see Leprechaun 2, which is a hilarious sequel. Just because, I mean, most of the time, like, whenever you get those, like, 90s horror movies, especially, like, when it's a sequel, they tend to try to follow the storyline. This kind of just takes the premise of, you know what, we have a little leprechaun and let's just use the leprechaun. Doesn't matter what the hell he's doing, just let's just put him back in the movie. And when you have characters like, let's say, Freddy or Jason, most of the time, when they are killed off, they're brought back for, you know, again, some reason or another, you know, depending on the film. But most of the time, they're brought back to life to, you know, go back and terrorize whatever, you know, kids happen to, you know, be stupid enough to wake them up. And this film, not even close. Like, it's just they miss that bar, like, by a lot. So let's go ahead and jump into the details here for you guys. So, kicking this thing off, we got Robin Flender as our director. And then it is written by Turi Meyer and Alfredo Sepetin. And I don't know if I'm saying that name right, but hey, it sounded good in my head. And then this is also, you know, based on the characters created by Mark Jones. Now, for our main cast, We have the great and almighty Warwick Davis as La Leprechaun. We got Charlie Heath as Cody. Siobhan Durkin as Bridget and William's daughter. And then we have Sandy Baron as Morty. And then that's our main cast. And then some of the ones that were kind of the subcast that that made me really, really grin because I wasn't expecting to see them in this. we end up having, it's Kimmy Robertson as the tourist girlfriend, Clint Howard as a tourist, Andrew Craig as Midwestern Dad, and he was awesome because I remember him from The Toxic Avenger. It was pretty funny. Now, for the last two little sub-characters, these two guys, like, when I saw them on screen, they just made me pop. Like, I was not expecting them to be in this film whatsoever. I mean, hell, Clint Howard surprised me, but seeing these two guys just made me really, really smile. So we have, as the African-American leprechaun, we have Tony Cox. And if you don't know who he is, I think probably the thing that he's really most known for is Bad Santa, as the little, you know, black elf. And then also, for me, one of my personal favorites is from Friday. He's Mr. Parker. There's the scene where Bernie Mac, his character is the Reverend. He goes over to Mr. Parker's house and ends up sleeping with his wife. And then Mr. Parker finds them and then chases them, you know, down the street. It's really funny. But Tony Cox is awesome, and he was kind of creepy in this film, which is really interesting. We'll talk about this in a second. But then the last player is Michael McDonald. And if you don't know that name, go and watch a little bit of Mad TV and go find yourself some Stewart. So Michael McDonald is fucking fantastic. I absolutely love him. And what's great is that this, I feel, is kind of like in and around that, like, Mad TV time. So, like, all the stuff with, like, Stewart and, like, just all the goofy characters that he plays. He's just such a goofball and just like such a cartoon character on his own, especially like during those earlier times. And I definitely want to talk about his scenes just and the way that he kind of portrayed it during this film. So that is our players. Now, as far as our box office details go, this movie was estimated about $2 million, and it total grossed was $2,260,000. Yeah, that's not too good. I mean, they made a little bit of their money back, so I mean, hooray. But yeah, this thing didn't do too hot. So and then it was like $672,000 was its opening day gross, which is okay. Yeah, that's fine, but it is what it is. So I mean, I'm not, after seeing this movie, I'm not terribly surprised. But I mean, I will take that back. I'm actually a little bit more surprised that they actually made their money back from this, like, for this worldwide gross. So yeah, I mean, this film was, it was just, in a word, bizarre. And I don't want to say, like, in a good way, but I mean, let's take this back to Leprechaun 1. If you guys, like I said, remember, at the end of Leprechaun 1, and this is when Ozzy, if you guys remember, swallowed the coin, and now the Leprechaun is chasing the group around trying to basically gut Ozzy so that he can get his precious gold coin. And the little kid in the little shit bag takes a little four-leaf clover ties it to a rock, and tells him, fuck you, Lucky Charms. Shoots the Lucky Charm down the leprechaun's throat, and it starts to melt the leprechaun. And as it's like melting him, it decided to work, and the group was able to push the melty leprechaun down the well, and they thought that everything was like ended and everything was good. And then the leprechaun starts to climb out of the well, and he looks like a swamp zombie thing, and he just keeps going, my coin, my coin, my coin. And the hero, I forget the dude's name, but he ends up running over, grabbing this can of gasoline, and kicks the shit out of the leprechaun back down the well, and then pours the gasoline in, and then hits the a match, and then blows the whole goddamn thing up. That scene was really funny because as he's like freaking out, pouring the gasoline in the well, the rest of the group is just like kind of like sitting there, almost like if you're waiting for your dad to light a firework. Like, you're just like, okay, yeah, all right, yeah, let's go for the sparkler. Yeah, like, they just seem like so uninterested, and there was no energy. Like, as oh my god, there's something coming out of the well. They were just like, yeah, that's nice. Go ahead and hurry up. Do your thing, just finish it off. And I mean, once the explosion happened, that was pretty, you know, pretty nice. But that was it. Like, that's the last that we see of the leprechaun. And jumping on into this film, though, we actually take our asses back in time, thousands of years, to actually come across a, I guess it's just an escaped prisoner who, he's on the run for his life. So we come across William O'Day, and he is hauling ass through the dark, dank woods. And, he is just, disheveled. I mean, he's just wearing just like tattered clothes. He's got this metal collar around his neck. And as he's running through the woods, he, you know, keeps doing that typical thing where he, you know, looks back, and he's just trying to just get as far away as he possibly could. And out of nowhere, he ends up getting yanked back, and he starts to choke. And then some unseen force is dragging him backwards, and lo and behold, it's our good old boy Leprechaun, who comes out from behind a tree just giggling away, and, you know, basically said, you know, tells William that he's got him. And William is just at that point where he just is just tired. He doesn't want to be broken anymore. He just wants this to end, and he is, in a way, just begging and pleading for the leprechaun to release him. And so the leprechaun, in a way, kind of ignores him, but then asks William, you know, do you know what day it is today? And William says no, he's not sure what that has to do with anything. So the leprechaun then tells him, it is the 17th of March, the Feast of St. Patrick, and today is my birthday. And a special birthday for leprechauns, as this is my 1,000th year old. Tonight, I claim my bride. Now, there's a bit to unpack on that. So our boy, leprechaun, this is his 1,000th birthday. Happy birthday. But on his 1,000th birthday, he decides that he's going to get hitched. Now, as the leprechaun is telling William this, William is just staring at this little creature straight in the face. And he basically goes, what woman would ever want you? Like, you are a horrible creature, and there's no way that a plump, woman, a plump, voluptuous woman that as so the leprechaun is so discreetly said, will ever go for him. So the leprechaun says, no matter. She sneezes once, she sneezes twice, she'll be my bride by sneeze thrice. And William kind of looks at him. He's like, you're going to make her sneeze and that's going to make her your bride? And the leprechaun is using the spell basically to lock this woman into this marital relationship with him, I guess imprisoning this woman. But William says, I will help you get this woman to become your bride, but you have to give me my freedom. And they end up shaking on it. They make a deal, and the leprechaun then takes him over to the woman, and you see this beautiful silhouette behind this this big white like linen sheet that's being hung out to dry. Clearly, and the woman's doing laundry and things like that. And it's like it's one of those things where it's like, so William's like, okay, like, all right, how are we gonna do this? Like, and you can kind of see where he's actually kind of getting into it. And then the linen drops, and it's just this gorgeous blonde girl that's just sitting there, just, you know, just doing the laundry. And William, his eyes get really wide, and he's like, no, you can't do this like this. Like, please, anyone but her. He's like, and it turns out that's William's daughter. So the leprechaun is just getting just this incredible joy out of just torturing this poor man. So not only has he imprisoned William, he also wants to take it one step further and lock himself within this family and just by marrying the daughter unwillingly. And so the leprechaun ends up, you know, blowing it's this like little breeze, and he's holding a flower. And the breeze, every time he blows, the girl ends up sneezing. And so sneezes once, she sneezes twice. And then just as the leprechaun is about to blow the last time, William ends up interrupting the spell, and the girl ends up like getting away, or like she breaks away from the sneezing spell, I should say. And William decides to run away, and in doing that, ends up getting another, you know, Jedi chokehold. And the leprechaun then ends up putting a curse on him. He actually says here, he's like, the curse placed upon your seed, William O'Day. You may have saved your daughter, but on my next 1,000th birthday, I will stalk your fairest offspring and claim her as my bride. Happy St. Patrick's Day. And then cackle, 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 cackle. And then he fades off. So just before he fades off, though, he ends up snapping the neck of William. Well, the daughter comes running around the corner, and when she ends up, you know, grabbing William in her arms, she pulls him up and, you know, sees that he's dead. And she ends up giving this like blood curdling scream, screams up at the sky, and then it just goes straight into the title card. Now, like I said, as I was saying before, it's hilarious that this movie was just like, you know, piss on whatever they did the first time around. We're just going to pick it right back up and just kind of show, you know, all that good shit. Like, so it was cool seeing the leprechaun back, like, you know, those thousands of years ago. But now after the title card, we get shot 1,000 years into the future. And that's where this movie just decides, like I said, just to throw everything right out and like just anything that's canon, just fuck it. Like, we're not doing it. So we end up getting introduced to Cody and Bridget. Cute couple. Sweet kids. Cody is a little fucking salesman. Like, he is the guy that you could just see being in that just awful, just suit at a used car salesman. Like, he is that good. he has got this, I guess you call it the silver tongue for just getting people to buy into bullshit. And it turns out that he is working for a company. It was like the Dark Side Tours. And the whole premise is that this is one of those gimmicky tourist attractions that take you around and show you all the haunted locations around the city. And now, I mean, I've done a couple of those, but they were in like Savannah, Georgia, where there is a lot of haunted places. Stuff like that is really cool. Down here in Florida, we have our own little ghost tours, and they are definitely a lot of fun and a good way to, you know, go and kill some time and have some fun. So Cody is over here just selling his ass off, getting these people to just pay their good money to jump into what is their hearse. And he piles him into the back and like into like the back seat. And then he actually gets another family to actually get into the back where they would like slide the caskets in, which I thought was really, really funny. So he's got these two different couples that are sitting there waiting to go on their tour. Well, Bridget comes up and, you know, she's watching Cody do his sales pitch and things like that. And then finally, Cody goes, okay, let's go. And he walks away. And for me, I was just like, you just put these people in a hearse and then just left. You took their money and then just fucked off. If that was anybody else in the city, I would have freaked the fuck out. That would just to have some punk ass kid put me in a hearse, take my money, and then leave. That wouldn't have fly. But it turned out where Cody was actually going to go get the host for the Dark Tours, which was Morty. Now, when we first meet Morty, it's just sitting at the bar, just drinking his ass off. He's just this old timer, just very, very disheveled. I mean, you could just tell like that man is just drowning his sorrows and whatever he could possibly get his hands on. But what's hilarious is that he is a businessman through and through. He is sitting at the bar drinking his ass off, but trying to pitch to another bar, attendee, basically to try and get him to buy into his Dark Tours, brand. And he wants to try and franchise his tours like all over the country. And he wants this guy to buy in. And the guy doesn't buy in all the way. And then Morty's like, oh, you could just go in for 5%. But the hilarious thing is that the guy that he's talking to is completely also blitz drunk. And he is passed the fuck out, just sleeping on the bar. And I tell you right now, if that bartender, I kind of feel was irresponsible and definitely negligent for sure, just because he to allow your customers to get that blitz drunk to where one of them is actually sleeping on the bar. Yeah, that ain't good. But Cody walks in and he walks up to Morty as he's giving a sales pitch, and Morty is just not ready for the show. So the bartender hands Cody a big old bucket of ice water, and Cody takes him to the bathroom and decides to start to dunk Morty's head into this bucket and try to wake the old geezer up. Well, the funny thing is that Morty's like, okay, I'm sober, I'm ready to go. And Cody is told Morty, like, we have customers ready to go. We've made about like $300. Like, you have to get everything together and let's go. Well, Morty, he is a showman and he is ready to, you know, do what he needs to, but the only problem is that he can't walk. Like, he can't walk a straight line. Like, he's still, even though he's kind of like perked up a bit, he can't, you know, perform. And alone, he can't drive. Like, he is so blitz drunk that it's like he's like, oh, you know, one of the, you know, the rule is, you know, the show must go on, but rule two is you don't kill your customers. It's so Morty decides that, you know, like, he can't, like, he's like, oh, okay, just go ahead and refund the, you know, the customers their money and, you know, apologize and you know, we'll get them next time. Well, then Cody gets all pissed off and he's like, he just takes the money and he starts to walk out. And Morty's like, what are you doing? And Cody turns around to him and says, rule number three is you never give a refund. And so Cody decides to like rush out and he's like, and he's going to go and put on the dark, you know, dark side tour. On a side of that, though, is that Bridget and Cody were off actually going to a date. They were going to go to the local like go-kart place and actually have like a really nice time. And so Cody, the whole premise was that he was going to get this tour set up and then he was going to go get Morty and then he could, you know, Bridget could just have him as much as they wanted. Well, now, because Morty is, you know, blitz drunk and, you know, they need a, you know, the show must go on, Cody has now decided, like, okay, well, we'll go to the go-kart place, but we're going to have to take the spooky scenic route. Bridget is pissed. Like, this is not the way that I felt like her night would, you know, should have gone. And it was, I also would have been pretty salty myself. There's a couple of times where, like, so she's sitting up in the front seat with Cody, and Cody has all these cue cards, and it's just got all this information and history about the locations where they're driving past. And so he asks her to help him out. He's like, oh, like, hand me, you know, card 15. Well, she hands him, like, card 9. And he starts reading off something that it has nothing to do with whatever, or, like, where they're at. Like, he's talking about, like, some type of ravine, and they're, like, down, like, some neighborhood street and stuff. So it's, like, it's – so she's purposely fucking him up. And the tourists that are in the back, they're also getting pissed off at him because they're just, like – this is just a ripoff. Like, this is not scary. You know, this is getting really stupid. And, like, it's getting really, really silly. Like, there's one point where they drive down to this, like, this local, like, neighborhood. And as they're, like, Cody's getting ready to drop some type of history about Houdini and where he lived and all this other stuff, this like black woman, this like ghetto black woman comes out. She takes a bucket of water, throws it on to the hearse, and she starts like screaming. She's like, you bad motherfucker, like, my husband ain't dead, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, she's just going fucking a mile a minute, just giving them the business and basically telling them to just the fuck off. And so Cody just drives off. But it's just hilarious that it's like he's just driving up in front of just random people's houses and just, you know, spewing random bullshit. Like, it's really, really funny. But lo and behold, they end up getting to the go-kart place, Bridget gets out and is, you know, like she storms off. Cody goes after her. And the tourists are kind of, you know, they don't know what to do. They're like, what is this place? And Cody's like, oh, it's the bathroom break. And one of the other the ladies at the, in the back, she's like, oh, thank God. It's just that sigh of relief of just like, I get to get out and like actually go to the bathroom. And as Cody is rushing out to Bridget, they actually run into this other hunk of a man, Ian, who I guess is running the go-kart place. So it turns out that Cody and Bridget were going to go and meet up with a group of people at this go-kart place. And, you know, that was going to be their night. But it turns out that I guess Ian is also a part of this group. And he decided that, you know, like, I guess because he has a thing for Bridget as well, that he is going to basically call out of work at the go-kart place, you know, take the night off, and then he was going to make this night all about Bridget. You know, just buying her, you know, chili dogs and just, you know, letting her ride as you know, many, you know, tracks as she wants, all that good shit. Now, the thing that was, you know, that kind of hurt to actually watch, like, it was just very, very painful, was you could kind of see where Cody hit that friend zone really quickly. Like, so when Bridget, like when we first are introduced to Bridget and, you know, she's waiting for Cody to finish the sales pitch, you could see like, oh man, like they're actually a really good couple and like she's really into him. And then as like she starts getting pissed at him and the car ride over, you could just see that downward slope. And then as he was trying to talk to her to figure it out, you could tell like she's just like, I'm not into you. You can just fuck off. This is just go away. And that moment when he, you know, tries to I guess talk to her, and he's just like, oh, you know, it's like this, you know, I'm really sorry, like this won't happen next time. And she just looks him dead in the eyes and goes, what makes you think that there's a next time? And then walks right the fuck off with Ian and just leaves Cody behind. And then Cody just kind of just, you could just see that slapped ass just so goddamn sad. And like I said, that's the hardest part to actually watch because it's just crushing. And so Cody gets back into the hearse with the fucking tourist and drives off, right? Leaving Bridget with hunky Dory Ian. And like, so Cody is just fuming, and he is just so goddamn hurt. And as he's trying to do like finish the tour, the tourists are like, oh, okay, this is just, you know, a bunch of garbage, like we're done. And then Cody's like, all right, fine, I guess I'll just take you back. And the tourists are like, yeah, that'd be great. And so as they say that, Cody fucking floors it and just burns straight through a red light. I mean, he's just hauling ass. And then, lo and behold, a fucking cop is just sitting right behind him and hits the lights and then pulls him right over. Well, Cody also only has a permit, and he got into a lot of trouble that night. So not only was he speeding, he also ran through a red light. He had the violations while only having a permit, and on top of that, he was only he was riding around in a commercial vehicle without the proper license. On top of the, you know, I guess the business that they weren't allowed to have or something like that. And I was like, it's like, so he had like civilians that that he also put in danger, and it was like he fucked up. He was not having a good night that night. But Morty ends up showing up at the, you know, at the jail, and you know, ends up signing him out. And it cut. It's actually like we're found out by as an audience that Cody's parents has passed away, and Morty is now his legal guardian. And it turns out, and I'm trying to figure out like how that came to be, because it's like it's never actually said like he's like Uncle Morty or, you know, some type of relative. So how Morty got full-blown custody of this child is just mind-blowing. So I have no idea what the family relationship is to Cody, to Morty. I have no idea. Now, at the same time, while they're at the police station, there is a homeless man that shows up, and he's screaming, you know, ranting and raving about this little person in a green suit that has stolen his gold tooth straight out of his mouth. And you can just see just blood all over the man's face, and he is just freaking out. And the cops just kind of just, yeah, just blow it off, like, okay, whatever. And then they just, you know, take the guy back to try and calm down. And Morty and Cody also see this, and they're like, all right, let's go ahead and get out of here. And we'll talk about what happened to the homeless man here in just a second, too. But Cody and Morty get back home, and Morty is trying to understand what happened. And so Cody explains to him about Bridget leaving him, and it was hilarious is that Morty's like, oh yeah, Bridget, she's a great girl. Like, I can't believe, like, you know, you were so lucky to have her. And then Cody says, oh, she dumped me. He's like, what? Like, you don't need women. Like, women just drag you down. It's like he like completely 180s just tries to tell Cody what he feels like he wants to hear, or yeah, it's just it, like what the moment, like he's trying to read the room, and it's just, it's really, really funny where it's just like, wait a second, you just said like one thing and now you're going the other way. Another really funny thing is that Morty orders a pizza, and what he's doing is he watches his clock, and he's timing it. And once it gets to 31, he opens up the door, reaches out, and he's like, you're late. And he snatches the pizza and then shuts the door on there. So he does that whole thing of like, oh, well, if it's like, if it's late pizza, it's free. And so I guess Morty is, he is just a full-blown, all-in-all con man. Like, he is always out for the deal, like he's always out for the money. And you could see this throughout the film where he's just always looking for that opportunity to just get greedy, greedy, greedy. And like that, so that pizza scene was just really funny. And so this is when he's talking to Morty about the girl. And so when he's saying like, oh, well, like, or he tells Cody, you know, you got to go out and get exactly what you want. You can't let life just sit here when it's got, you know, pockets full of change. Like, you just gotta go out and get it. And so Cody gets up, and Morty's like, where are you going? He's like, I'm going to go get what I want. So homeboy is off to go see his girl. And at the same time, his girl is now going home with the hunky-dory Ian, and she is walking up to her front door. Ian's walking behind her, and she's like, oh, well, thank you, you know, for a great night. The go-karts were a lot of fun. You know, thank you for the hot dogs. It was exactly what she needed. And Ian's like, oh, and that's no problem. Like, it was my pleasure. And then he's like, oh, well, like, I heard that your parents weren't home. And, you know, would it be, can I come in? And she just kind of just smiles and she's like, no, I don't think that would be right. Like, it's okay. It's getting late. And he's like, okay, well, you know, it's like, you know, I figured like that would be, it would be cool if I did come in. And she's like, no, that's not going to happen. Like that. She's like, you know, I am still with, she's like, I'm still dating Cody. And Ian just kind of was like a little baffled because he's like, well, I thought you broke it off with them tonight. And she's like, no, I was just mad at him, but I didn't, like, we're still dating. And Ian's getting, you can see where he's just getting mad. He's just like, well, I took off of work for you. I went and bought you like the, you know, hot dogs and, you know, like I spent as much time as I could just for you. And she's like, that was really sweet, but I never asked you to do that. And, you know, it's just like, but like I said, I'm still with Cody and that's kind of how it is. And Ian just gets pissed. He's like, all right, well, he's like, well, you know, screw you type of thing. And then he just starts to walk away. Well, almost seconds later, and this is where, like, again, any person would have just been like, oh, there's a, you know, that's kind of, they're kind of weird, red flags, you know, anything like that. But nope. So he hears Bridget and she's calling out to him saying like, oh, like, you know, Ian, come back. And he turns around and now she, like, at first she was just on her stair steps. Now he's calling her from the garage and he doesn't understand, like, at first, like, how she got from, like, you know, from one side to the other side, like, that quickly. But she's like, oh, you know, I'm really, really sorry. This is, you know, yeah, you did do so much and I want to repay you. And I like, this is the only way I know how. And so he goes up to her and she starts to, like, flirt with him. And then it gets to the point where he's just like, oh, well, what about Cody? She's like, well, what about Cody? And, you know, don't worry about this. This is exactly what you wanted. And then she stands up in front of him and starts to take off her shirt. And we get full-blown booby shot, which is fantastic. But she ends up taking his shirt off in front of him. And you could tell, like, he is just about to just plow his face right on into those boobies. And what's hilarious is that this is all being put on by our boy, the Leprechaun. So the Leprechaun is in the shed and he is projecting this naked girl to this boy. But what we as an audience member get to see is that the Leprechaun has levitated a fucking lawnmower, like, and he is cranked up those blades so fast, and this boy is seeing this lawnmower blade as this girl's boobas, and they did this great little shot where it's kind of a cutaway, but you could see the blades are going and the kid's face is getting closer and closer. And then it pans over to the shadow of the boy's face. And you could just see his face smash right into the blades. And you could hear the just all the flesh being just sliced to ribbons. Like, it is so fucking good. And then you see, like, you know, blood splatter and stuff like that. And it's really quick, but it's satisfying. Like, it is a great little setup. And it turns out, as we, you know, lo and behold, it turns out that Bridget is the ancestor for William O'Day. And so it's been 1,000 years. Leprechaun has come back, and now he is after Bridget as the bride. So to actually backtrack a little bit there, just to kind of talk about that homeless man that was at the police station. So during one of the Dark Tour's locations, they actually drive past this very old, ancient looking tree, and they were talking about how this is Houdini's tree, and this is his old family site. Like, it's just a whole bunch of bullshit that's not even true. But this tree is actually the home location for our leprechaun. And as the group is there at doing the tour, this homeless man that just happens to be there just pops up at the back of the hearse, scaring the shit out of the tourist in the back, and then Cody just drives off. Well, the homeless man walks over to his little spot in the woods right next to the tree, sits down with his bottle of whiskey, and then ends up, you know, starting to go to sleep. But then the bottle falls over and then starts to scoot all the way into this tree, going away. And then out of nowhere, this big old bright light splits up the tree and then opens up. And then our good old buddy Leprechaun comes, you know, scooting right on out. And he's got the bottle of whiskey in his hand. And then he just starts to, he takes a swig of it and he gets all upset. He's like, this isn't Irish whiskey. And he's all pissed off and he, you know, throws the bottle. And then the homeless man is kind of, you know, in shock at to what he's seeing. And the leprechaun just starts doing all of his, you know, leprechaun gimmicky bullshit and ends up seeing that the homeless man has a gold tooth. Instantly go like, oh, that's, you know, super shiny. That'll be good for the collection. And he, and what would be very Evil Dead-esque, these roots sprout up from underneath the homeless man and they like grab him and they hold him down. And then the leprechaun steps up on top of the homeless man, puts his foot onto like his throat. And then he even tells the homeless man, he's like, this is going to hurt quite a bit. He's like, I didn't bring my Novocaine. And then you just hear the scream of the homeless man as the leprechaun is ripping this man's tooth out of his head. And then he takes the tooth and then he magically appears his just this pot of gold. And then he just throws it in there and that's boom, another one for the collection. And that pot of gold definitely comes back and plays a pretty big part a little bit later on in the movie, too. So going on back over to Bridget and Cody. So right after Ian gets his face shredded up by the lawnmower blades after hallucinating boobies, there's a knock on the door, and then the doorbell rings. Bridget instantly thinks that it's Ian, and she's just like, oh, like, I'm going to call the cops if you don't leave. And then she finally opens up the door and sees that it is Cody. And she's kind of surprised, and she doesn't know what to do. And then Cody holds up some flowers. And he's trying to apologize, and he's, you know, wanting to make up, and, you know, because he doesn't want to lose Bridget. So he asks if he can come in, and she says yes. And then he explains to her, he's like, you know, what I did was just really shitty. I was just trying to make a buck and not lose business, and, you know, that won't happen again. He's like, she asks, like, you know, why, and, you know, why won't that happen again? He's like, well, because, like, you know, I can't lose you. And I was like, okay, good answer. Like, that's well done. Like, so she's like, she basically gets right back into that, like, okay, I forgive you. And then, like, almost like, again, a 180 emotion where it went from, like, okay, yeah, I really like this guy, into fuck this dude. And then turn around and she's like, right back into, yep, no, we're boyfriend and girlfriend again, and, like, everything's fine. And it was just the whiplash. It was just like, holy shit, girl. But, like, what was the craziest thing was that the leprechaun decides to infiltrate his spell, so the whole sneezing spell. So they take the flowers that she's given, and the leprechaun is blowing into the window, and it's making her sneeze. And so Cody's like, oh, like, I didn't know you were allergic to flowers. And she's like, I'm not. She's like, I just have to sneeze. And he's like, okay, well, she sneezes a second time. He's like, well, like, we need to get those flowers away from you, because this, I don't want you, you know, to continue to sneeze. And she's like, oh, don't worry about it. And then lo and behold, boom, she hit the third sneeze. And out of nowhere, the leprechaun just bursts right into the room. Both of them are freaking out, rightfully so, because now they got this little demon dude in a green suit that's actually attacking them, saying that now Bridget is now his. So there's a struggle and a fight that ensues. I believe it was Cody. Yeah, Cody ended up having this, like, iron rod that he went to hit the leprechaun with. The leprechaun grabbed it and it burned him. And that's where we kind of get the idea, like, okay, he can't touch iron rods and things like that. It will hurt him. And then the leprechaun, you know, he's kind of had enough, and he ends up, there's a, like, a pot and pan rack that's right above, and he, you know, uses his powers, drops the pots and pans on top of Cody, knocking him out. Well, in the after knocking him out, that's when the leprechaun takes Bridget away. And it's a really cool, like, transition where they both, like, disappear, which is really funny. But a few moments later, Cody wakes up. He gets up, and then he buggers off in his hearse. Well, lo and behold, the neighbors heard all the ruckus, and so they ended up calling the cops to see what the disturbance was. And then that's when they find the shredded Ian in there. And then they all, like, the neighbors also saw the hearse with the dark side tours on, you know, on the side of the vehicle. So they knew, like, whose vehicle it was and who was there last. And then on top of that, on top of, like, seeing the dead kid, now there is a missing girl, and now Cody is the one that is being blamed for the murder, because he was the last one that was there, last one that was seen, last one to see, you know, to be around this girl. So big trouble for Cody there. Now the cops are on this manhunt for Cody, and they're going around to all the, I guess, you know, places where he would be at. Like, they go to Morty's house, and Morty is talking to the cops, and he looks over and he sees Cody walking up, and he just kind of gives this, like, he eyeballs, he's like, don't come over here. Like, I'm handling it. Just don't come over. And finally, like, you could see Morty just kind of playing like this, like, I don't understand. I don't know what he's like. I'll make sure that, you know, when he comes, and I'll make sure that he stays. And, you know, that way we can, you know, figure out what's going on. He's being he's just putting on that, like, very concerned parent. And the cops, like, say, okay, well, that, you know, thank you for your time. You know, please keep us informed. And then they leave. And then that's when Cody goes back to Morty, and Morty's like, what the hell happened? Like, why are the cops after you? All this other stuff. So, you know, Cody explains to him, he's like, there's a leprechaun. This leprechaun attacked us and it took Bridget. And then Morty looks dead in his face. He's like, I'm pretty sure I should have just let the cops just take you. Like that. He did not believe a fucking word. But, and that was one of the things, was like, so during the struggle of the leprechaun and Cody, you know, moments ago, Cody ended up snagging one of the leprechaun's coins. So that's kind of where the movie starts to kind of progress, where it's not only like, because he ends up with Bridget, but now Cody has one of his coins and he wants the fucking coin back more than anything. Like, that is his, give it back. And so Cody is trying to explain to Morty and he's not having any of it. And he's like, they're looking through like all these old books, and they actually find the exact picture of a coin on there, and it is like linked up to the leprechaun. It's got all the history. I was like, holy shit, like they found exactly the right information of everything they needed. And it turns out where the leprechaun ends up showing up, and it starts terrorizing Morty and Cody, and to the point where they actually like run off. And they run out to their local bar. And what's actually really funny is that this movie is the only movie in every single Leprechaun film to actually be set around St. Patrick's Day. So this is like St. Patrick's Day back, you know, like thousands of years ago. And now it's St. Patrick's Day again. And you can see, like, everyone's wearing green, and they got all the, you know, the shamrocks and the whole nine that, you know, you typically see. Well, Morty and Cody are now sitting at the bar trying to kind of figure out what the next plan is. And then Morty looks across the bar, and he's just shocked. He's like, the little man's just sitting there. He's right there. What do we do? They don't know what's going on. And then all of a sudden, boom, just he pops, like the leprechaun pops up right next to him. And Morty gets this bright idea to try to swindle the leprechaun. And it's pretty ingenious. So they're all sitting at the bar, and Morty basically says, okay, well, like, you know, like, everyone, like, if I could have your attention, you know, my little friend here has just gotten married. So as a celebration, I would like to, you know, pour him a drink. And the leprechaun is just kind of like just staring at him, just, you know, very, very puzzled look. Everyone in the bar is just, you know, they're cheering. They're doing the typical, you know, like, congratulations thing. And then Morty just kind of turns and looks at the leprechaun. He's like, oh, well, like, what, you don't want to drink? I thought you leprechauns could hold your liquor. Like, it's okay if you don't. Like, we can maybe get you, like, a green lemonade or something. And the whole bar laughs. And you can see the leprechaun's like, well, no one fucking laughs at me. Like, this is, like, no, I got this. And so he takes the shot and he just, like, boom, downs it. And then he's just like, hit me again. And then the rest of the bar like starts to like cheer. But the great little thing is that So him and Morty start to have this drinking contest, but it turns out that Morty has asked the bartender to give him basically what's it's just a non-alcoholic beverage that looks like whiskey. And so, like, that way it's like, okay, Morty can't get drunk, but, like, he is just letting this leprechaun down as much booze as fucking possible, and it's fucking hilarious. So it's like at one point he ends up getting him so drunk that he can't even like do his like little leprechaun talk, where he ends up doing the it's like pour all you want, pour all you can, you won't beat me because I'm the leprechaun. Or crayon. He's just like, and he's just like obliterated. You can see the hair on the leprechaun is like completely disheveled. Like he is just swaying, can't really sit upright. And it's just like, it's really fucking funny. And that was the whole thing was like, so the whole idea was that it wasn't that Morty was trying to just get him drunk so that they could get away. He was trying to get him drunk so that Morty could catch the leprechaun. And in doing so, the whole legend is that if you catch a leprechaun, they have to grant you three wishes. So he's trying to catch him, and then that didn't work out. The leprechaun smashes a bottle over Morty's head, and then scurries off. Well, what's hilarious is that I guess sober up a bit, the leprechaun ends up going to an espresso bar, and this is where Michael McDonald's character shows up. And it's funny because like this is like at the end of the night, the espresso bar is about to close. You know, there's nobody else in the bar except it's just the leprechaun and this waiter. And the leprechaun has just been downing espressos left and right. Like, I mean, you can just see, like, on the table, there's just, like, all these, like, piles of coffee cups and things. So the waiter basically says to the leprechaun, just pay up and get out of here. You know, it was time to leave. So the leprechaun then says to him, so it's me gold you'll be wanting. The waiter then turns to him and says, yeah, gold card, Visa, Master. I'd prefer cash, but maybe you're just a little short. And then just this like cartoonish like like just laugh at just the terrible joke that he made. And then he's like, you little people, you guys kill me. And the leprechaun just kind of like looks up. He's like, yep, that's exactly what we're going to do. So then out of nowhere, the leprechaun just magically appears right in front of the waiter that's actually cleaning one of the espresso machines. And again, the waiter's completely shocked. But then the leprechaun takes two knives and stabs the waiter's hands and pins him to the table. And then he takes takes his magic and then turns the steam, like the faucet, and points it straight at the waiter's face and then cranks that sumbitch on high and steams the ever-loving shit out of this waiter. And it is, like, it was so satisfying because they never, like, they didn't do that, like, cutaway shit or whatever. It's like, they just showed you how this waiter was being steamed to death, and you just see the deterioration of this face and just how it just melted. And then boom, the waiter just drops right to the counter. And then that's it. I was like, it was so, so goddamn satisfying. Also, to again, backtrack a little bit. I mentioned Tony Cox as the African American little person, and or as the African American leprechaun is how he's labeled in this movie. But it's really creepy. So Cody is in the bathroom, and he's talking to Morty, and they're trying to figure out what like their next plan of action is. And Morty, he's like, oh, I'm going to go sit at the bar. I'll go chill out for a bit. So he walks out of the bathroom, and then we see the bathroom door open up, and we could see the little, you know, leprechaun shoes, and we hear the jingling. And then we're expecting to see our leprechaun, but then lo and behold, right around the corner comes this little black leprechaun, and he's like, hey man, you want some of my gold? You want some gold? And I was like, first of all, it's like, I know you're in a bar, and I mean, you're probably drinking and everything else, but it's like, holy shit. It's like, to be that comfortable with someone just to sit there and just like, yeah, man, here, take this. And he's like, he's handing him chocolate. Like it's the chocolate coins that's in this little bucket. And when he goes to smile at Cody, it is the creepiest fucking smile. Like it doesn't feel natural. And for like a split second, you're going, this is our leprechaun. Like he has morphed himself into this person. And this is our leprechaun. But it, lo and behold, nope. He was just a creepy fucking little dude that was just like meeting some other random guy in a bathroom just trying to hand him chocolate. Like while he's taking a piss. Like I don't like that is it's so fucking weird. And then when the leprechaun, like our actual leprechaun, is out drinking with Morty, there's like a whole gang of other like midgets that are all dressed up in their, you know, leprechaun Irish, you know, get-ups or whatever, and they all go around the leprechaun and they're cheering him on, saying, one of us, one of us, one of us. And I'm like, oh, okay, so I was having like flashbacks to like Freaks where they're like, goobble gobble, one of us. And so they were cheering him on, but it just blew my mind that I was like, how fucking creepy that smile was. But I also like that it made you feel like, okay, well, is that the leprechaun or is that not the leprechaun? It's like, so that I was like, points on all that. Now, as Morty and Cody are dealing with this whole leprechaun trying to, you know, get his coin, like when they're dealing with that situation, Bridget is also dealing with her own bullshit. So she has been taken to the leprechaun secret lair in this fucking tree fort underground cave system deal. And she is now being held captive by the leprechaun. The leprechaun said, oh, well, we can't, continue on this marriage without a ring. And he ends up getting, it's a gold, like, neck collar, like, kind of like what her ancestor, William O'Day, had. But it's like a nice, shiny gold one. So he uses that collar, throws it around her, and he's doing his Vader neck choke thing, and he's controlling her. Well, he tells her like, "Oh, you are my bride. We are going to, we're going to do the business, and you're going to give me a bunch of children." Which also I was like, that alone is fucking crazy. Just to think that, okay, it's been thousands of years. He has needs that have to be met, is what he says. But then on top of that, she is going to bear his children. And so then a bunch of little fucking leprechauns are going to be scurrying around. I was like, I want to see that fucking movie. Like, I want to see how fucking batshit crazy that thing could have been. Like, I don't think in any other leprechaun movie that's ever been a thing where it's like, oh, there's like a spawn of leprechaun or some bullshit like that. But yeah, that's the premise of what he wants with Bridget, is that he's going to marry her, he's going to have sex with her, and then turn around, she's going to bear his children. And then there's a part in there where, like, because she's trying to get away and she's, you know, just really, really fighting it. And so he wraps her up in this blanket so that she can't move. And then he splits it open just a little bit. And he's like, oh, like he's, you know, running his fingers up and down her stomach. And he's like, oh, you know, you're like, your face is gorgeous, but we can't have that. Like, the children won't take to you. It's like, if you don't look like me, then, you know, we won't. So we'll have to fix that later. So not only does she have to deal with the, I'm about to get my face carved, but now I got to deal with a little person trying to get busy with me and putting a little demon baby thing in me. I don't like it. No, sir. But, I mean, she, like, to give her a lot of credit, like, she actually tried to be, you know, very proactive when it came to her survival. There was a lot of times when she would try to escape, and she would not give up. It was really funny because even the leprechaun says, "Oh, go ahead and try to escape. You'll never get out." Like, he's put in these traps into his little lair where it's like, there's a couple times where, like, because when Cody actually gets into the tree lair, they're running through all these little corridors, and like one would like take them out one way, and then it would like, they would run down another one, and it would take them out another way. And it's just, it almost like it was like a very Scooby-Doo type of situation to where they just could not find the exit. There was no way for them to get out, which is really, really, like, it was heartbreaking. But it was one of those, like, it's like, how are you going to win? Like, what is the end game when literally this little leprechaun has made it incredibly hard for you to reach your goals? But there, like, so she tries to leave a couple times and it doesn't work out. She tried to bash the leprechaun over the head with a rock. That didn't work. Like, he just kind of just popped right up. He's like, oh, let's go. Like, and then, and like nothing happened. Like, he just no-selled the shit out of it. And then there was another time where, so as the leprechaun was out with, you know, dealing with Morty and Cody, she actually finds this old ancient box that's been buried in the ground. So she opens up, and then it's like all these like knickknacks and metal pieces, and it's just a whole bunch of stuff. But she finds this, like, I guess it's like just this dagger. And so she's going to stab the shit out of the leprechaun with it. Well, when before the leprechaun leaves, he ends up giving Bridget a dress and says, put this on. When I come back, it's go time. Like, so I want you looking hot, ready to go. Well, lo and behold, the leprechaun shows back up and she's in the dress. Like, she is like trying to seduce. And the best way that I could describe it is, if anybody remembers that scene in Aladdin when Princess Jasmine decides that she is going to seduce Jafar and get it to the point where she can allow Aladdin to go and steal the genie's lamp, that whole gimmick. That's what Bridget was doing to the leprechaun, was like, she was trying to seduce him so easily and get him just ready to go so that she could just stab the shit out of him. But she didn't realize that what when she went to stab him, it was basically like hitting a brick wall, and she bit the shit out of the fucking blade. And she's very, very, like, shocked. And even the leprechaun, like, looked. He's like, my father gave me that. That was like, a priceless heirloom. Like, and now you broke it. And so now the leprechaun's pissed. And he fucking, like, takes Bridget, starts, like, throwing her, hitting her around. And then that's when Cody fucking comes in and saves the day for the final act. And, speaking of traps and trying to trick the leprechaun and things like that. Now, earlier on, Cody and Morty have the idea of trying to trap the leprechaun. So earlier on, when Ian was doing his, you know, trying to steal the girlfriend type of thing at the go-kart place, they went into Ian's office and they saw that Ian had this giant iron safe. Like, it was like one of those like really old timey safes. And so Cody decided that he, like, the best way, like, for them to get a handle on the leprechaun is to trap him in this iron safe, which is a brilliant idea. So the go-kart track has a Rottweiler that is its guard dog. And what's hilarious is that there's a scene where the leprechaun scares the shit out of the dog. And is like, dog just fucks right off. But Morty and Cody are in the main office. And there is a doggy door where that Rottweiler can go in and out of, since that was Ian's dog. And the leprechaun can see Cody behind the door, and the leprechaun decides, like, oh, I'm just going to run through the doggy door, and that's it. Well, the beautiful thing is that Cody bait the leprechaun in to go in through the doggy door, but it also went into the big iron safe, and they shut it, and then you could see the leprechaun, like, every time it would touch one of the sides of the safe, you just see it just start to burn him. Which I was like, that's so good. Like, that is such the perfect, like, just way to catch that fucking leprechaun. Like, that's because it's literally hurting him. And, like, that would kill him if you just left him there, because he would not be able to move. He would just, because it would just be inches away from, you know, from death on either side of him. And the thing that killed me, I was like, what a fucking stupid moment. Because so after they lock the leprechaun in the safe, Morty decides that he's gonna get the idea to continue on with getting his wishes. So he locks Cody in a room and he says, I got this. Give me a second. And he tells the leprechaun, you know, the thing is that I know that I could ask you for, you know, like, I want my wishes. You're going to give me my wishes. I've caught you. Like, this is what's happening. So I know that I could just ask you for, you know, $1 million. I could, you know, tell you to give me $1 billion. I could make you, you know, make me as rich as possible. But you know what? I don't want that. He's like, I want your gold. Give me your gold. And so you could hear the leprechaun inside the safe saying, like, are you sure that's what you want? And Morty's like, yes, give me your gold. He's thinking that he is so smart, so sinister. And then out of nowhere, Morty just like he hits the floor in pain and he's holding his stomach. And then out of nowhere, you see his stomach start to grow. And it turns out that the leprechaun has teleported his pot of gold into Morty's stomach and is starting to expand. And then you just see Morty laying on the ground and you can see the imprint of the pot of gold. And Morty is just absolutely begging for help. And it turns out where he's just like, he's like, you know, like, please, 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 you gotta help me, you gotta help me. And the leprechaun's like, is that one of your wishes? He's like, yes, that's one of my wishes. He's like, okay, well, you gotta open up the safe and let me out so I can help you. And finally, like, so Morty kind of like stretches over and he opens up the safe, lets out the leprechaun. I'm like, you stupid son of a bitch. So he's got this stomach full of a pot of gold. And then, like, so the second wish was for someone to help him. And then the third wish is he's like, please, like, just get it out of me. I just want it out. And so the leprechaun's like, are you sure that's what you want? And Morty's like, yes, please get it out. And then the fucking leprechaun slices open Morty's stomach and just rips out the fucking pot of gold. And it is so, again, it's another satisfying, like, little scene because of the way the setup was. Like, it's very, it's simple, stupid, but at the same time, it works. It's a nice, it's got a good build up. And the fact that Cody has to watch this whole thing is also very, very awesome, because it's like he can't do anything except for see Morty just be ended. Like, and on top of that, we also, there's a security guard that's there, and he sees Cody, sees Morty on the ground with his stomach blown out. And then, like, this is another thing. Like, the security guard's got a fucking gun. I was like, what security guard at a goddamn go-kart track is gonna be carrying a gun? I was like, that, I was so baffled by that. But so this security guard sees Cody since they broke into the go-kart place, and he's like, oh, I recognize you from the news. It's like, you're just on a murdering spree tonight. Like, first you murdered that boy, and then now you kidnapped that girl, and now you murdered this man. It's like, what else are you gonna, you know, do? I gotta stop you. And then that's when the fucking leprechaun comes out and just takes out the fucking security guard. So it's, what's awesome too is that he tries to take out Cody with a fucking go-kart, and so we have a whole nother scene where he's trying to kill him with, like, some type of motorized vehicle, which is really, really funny. So now, as we head back into the finale of the film, one of the little things that I loved about this was that there was that idea that of trying to trick the leprechaun and, or outsmarting him, but also having to deal with the leprechaun outsmarting our group. So it was just kind of like a, who's going to get the upper hand, you know, back and forth. There was a couple of moments where the leprechaun would use his ability to manipulate, like, their reality, and they would, see something that wasn't. And, like, there was a couple times where, like, there was, like, he put them into, like, spider webs, and there was just, like, a whole bunch of shit. Like, so, I mean, it was constantly, like, every time they would go down, like, one corridor, there was something. And it was just always just there just to fuck with the kids. I think one of my absolute favorites was the actual crescendo to the end. Was Cody is walking around with a iron rod for his weapon. And again, this is when Bridget is, like, looking, you know, hot and sexy. Like, she's got her, like, red dress on, her hair is kind of blown out. Like, you know, it's like she's looking good. Well, the whole time they're running around and they're trying to get away from this leprechaun. And then Cody loses Bridget. And he's looking like he's hunting around for her. Like he cannot find her. And then finally he goes down this one corridor and sees Bridget there. And she's like, oh, like she's like, I'm OK. Like, don't worry about it. Like we'll have to get out of here. Like, there's no way to get out. She's like, you're going to have to just go without me, or like, and she tries to do that whole thing. And then she's like, I love you. Like, this is, you know, don't like, I want you to be safe. And then she kisses him and she's like, you know what? She's like, the only way that we can get through this is if to, like, if we just give him the coin, like if you give him the coin, like he'll leave us alone. And Cody is just like, okay, I guess that's the only way to get through is just to give him the coin. And so he hands Bridget the coin, and then slowly Bridget starts to back away from Cody, and she's laughing. The girl playing Bridget, it was fucking creepy just because of just that laugh. She's not losing eye contact, but like, and the laugh is very, it's just Joker-esque. It's just that maniacal laugh. And then Bridget transforms into the leprechaun. But then the real Bridget appears behind Cody, and she is, the demeanor is completely different. It's just, she's very scared. She's, pleading with like Cody. She's like, I'm sorry, like, please don't be mad at me, like, I didn't, like, there's nothing I could do. And then the rod gets taken out of Cody's hand magically by the leprechaun, and then the leprechaun spears Cody right in the chest, and he goes down for the count. But then Bridget, in a panic, goes over to check on Cody and make sure that, you know, like, see if he's actually alive. And, you know, in that panic, the leprechaun then goes over to him. He's like, oh, cry as you may, cry as you might, it's going to be one hell of a wedding night. It's like, that's so fucking dark. It's like, yeah, I just killed your boyfriend, but who cares? Like, we're going to go get busy. But the crazy thing is that Cody was playing possum the whole time. So he gave a gold coin to the leprechaun, but it turned out that it was one of those chocolate coins that the African-American leprechaun gave it to him at the in the bar. So he gave him a chocolate coin, and Cody had the real coin, which I guess they earlier on in the movie, it was stated that if Cody had one of the pieces of the collection from the leprechaun, that he cannot be hurt by the leprechaun. So he's protected in that aspect. So no matter what the leprechaun does, Cody cannot be touched. And so the whole rod, it hit Cody, but it did no damage. And so that was, and then so Cody took the rod from his shoulder and then stabbed the shit out of the fucking leprechaun. And then you can just see the flames and just the whole, basically the leprechaun just ending at that point. And and it got to the point where he was sparking so much that the leprechaun actually explodes. So again, that's the second time that this fucking leprechaun has exploded between two different movies. And at that point, the spell has now been lifted. So now both Bridget and Cody can now leave the tree dome or tree lair, whatever you want to call it. So they leave the leprechaun lair, and as they get out, Bridget turns to Cody and says, like, how did you know it wasn't me? And he's like, oh, it's like, he didn't kiss me like you do. And I was like, ew, that's fucking gross, dude. Like, it's like, it's a compliment to her, but what a weird fucking compliment to give to somebody. It's like, oh yeah, it's like, at least, you know, you kiss me better than a fucking leprechaun does. Like, it's just a weird, like, that's the way that, like, she, like, laughs, and she's like, ah, that's really funny. And then that's the way the movie ends. Like, it just, boom, like, okay, we're all done. And I have a lot of questions, because, first of all, there's still a fucking manhunt out for this kid. The cops are still looking for him. Like, that's a thing. Like, there's no question as to, like, no, like, he's still got to deal with that fucking problem. It's not just a, okay, I get the girl and we're all good and then we just go live our happy lives. Like, no, he's still got that bullshit to deal with. And it's like, he's got to deal with the murder of Ian. And then he's got to deal with the kidnapping of Bridget, which I'm pretty sure she could probably get him off on that pretty quickly. And then, you know, then you got to deal with the Morty death and the break-in at the go-kart place. And so, I mean, there is a lot that this kid has to answer for and deal with the cops on this situation. And there are so many movies that do that, where it's, there is a situation that is never resolved, and it's just there in the cliff. Like, you just have no idea what is going to happen at like after the credits roll. And that it was the same thing with this film. So it was just really funny to see, and actually kind of interesting to think about too. It's just how they were going to deal with that. But all lo and behold, I think it's time for me to wrap this thing up, man. I'm tired. What a movie. So thinking back on this thing, at first I didn't like this, but after going through and talking about this whole shindig, and the thing that I think really saved this film, one, is the campiness. Just the goofiness of the film. It just gives this, like, extra little bit of a charm. And it's one of those movies that knows what movie it's in. It's not trying to be, like, it's not trying to be scary, but then it coming off as dumb or campy. It's meaning to be silly and funny, and it knows. And that helps. Also, the kills are really cool. So it's again, I have to give it to, like, even in the Leprechaun 1, there was a lot of really cool kill scenes. And this one, they actually got some pretty creative ones. I mean, yeah, we did get to see some boobies, but at the same time, about seeing the boobies, we got a really cool lawnmower scene. That's probably one of my favorite kills out of the whole goddamn movie. And then the Michael McDonald steam kill, that one was pretty dope too as well. But I mean, lo and behold, like the kills were cool, and yeah, the campiness helped it out, but at the same time, it's like, I'm still going to just give this thing a 2.5. Like, I don't think I'd ever really watch it again unless it was like I was with somebody else that has never seen it before. That would be the only reason that I would probably, like, sit through this thing again. But like I said, it's like, I understand the Leprechaun, like, the gimmick, and it's like, I can enjoy the Leprechaun more than anything. Like, it's just, like, just the character himself, like Warwick is a fucking legend. Like, he is so good. He owns those characters. Like, when he is embodying anything that he's playing. It's just the feeling that you get out of those is incredible. Like, for instance, when he's playing Professor Flitwick in Harry Potter, that's a character that's just kind of just there. Like, he's got a little bit of a role, and you kind of get that feeling like he's just meant to be there. But then when you get into Gringotts and he's playing the goblins, there's more of a sinister or a more of a tension there. And just the way that he just kind of is just in that moment, or just like, even though like they got like the makeup and everything else looks just absolutely incredible, but just his performance and the way that he just gave that, just that little bit of tension really helped build for that scene. And he does that a lot with his, you know, with all of his movies. And like, he did it with a couple of scenes here in Leprechaun, like in the waiter scene at the coffee shop. There was a couple of moments where it's like, yeah, it's funny because he's just, you know, down in coffee and he's got a headache and a hangover. But then that moment when he's like, oh, you want my gold? And you could tell the mood just changes and flips. And just that weird, that little side eye that he gave the waiter, like, oh, you want this? And then, like, he waited for him to say, yeah, I want your gold. And then that smile just, you know, went right over his face. Like, he's like, it's go time. We're about to go murdering. Like, but it was just the, like, just that essence of, oh, something's wrong. And then, boom, the whole mood just completely changes. And he does that beautifully in all of his work. So I do love The Leprechaun, but the movies, they definitely need some work on for sure. But yes, one of the reasons that I wanted to watch this film is mainly because I want to get to the point where I get to watch and review Leprechaun Back in the Hood. Like, that's the one that I want to watch is the one, or it's, I want to see Goes to the Hood, and then I want to see Back to the Hood. Like, so I want to get to that where I do a review for those. I don't give a shit about the one where he goes to space. I want to see the one where he goes to the hood. That's the one I want. So I'm not going to be watching them like all in succession. Like, I'll give it a little bit of breathing time. But yeah, so I'm going to give this one a 2.5. Like I said, it was fun, but I probably wouldn't watch it again unless somebody else was like sitting down and watching it with me. But yeah, I still want to hear what you guys think. Thank you guys for, you know, sitting down and, you know, listening to all my rambling bullshit this late at night. But again, I want to hear what you guys thought. You know, please send me an email at creepinitreal.cm@gmail.com, or hit me up on Instagram or Facebook at creepinitreal. And that's R-E-E-L. And, you know, please, it's like, you know, drop me a movie suggestion. It's like, the more suggestions, the better. Is always, always good. Also, I mean, I always love, you know, seeing you guys, you know, support the channel. And it's like, just like dropping a little message, like, or, you know, comment on, you know, on the Instagram, that always helps out, just to kind of just see that there is, you know, there is a good little community going. But if you also want to support me a little bit more, you know, again, I do have merch. So you guys can always go to the, you know, link in the Instagram bio. It'll take you right to the Redbubble page, and you can just see all the artwork that I've done, because I do everything. And yeah, you can buy, you know, fucking anything. You could do t-shirts, hoodies, there's like stuff for kids, you could get like mats for your dogs, like they got so much stuff. One of my all-time favorite things from there is their cell phone cases. I have gotten so many cases from them, and I could put whatever the hell I want on them, and so, you know, I could swap them out. And they're great quality stuff, and it's, I've never had any other cell phone case, so that's probably my go-to. But yes, the quality is fantastic. So, and yeah, and it helps support me and promoting the podcast. So, yeah, that'd be great. And if you guys actually end up buying something, you know, go to Facebook and, you know, shoot me a photo saying, hey, look what I bought. It'd be awesome. But yes, that is it for this week. And I'm definitely looking forward to next week. I tell you what. So, thank you guys for hanging out with me. And, hey, and remember, don't be stealing other people's gold. It just ain't nice.